Good morning. Well, yesterday some men and myself went to West Houston Bible Church to a men's prayer breakfast, and it was the largest one I had gone to, about 70 men there from different churches. And we heard a phenomenal speaker. His name is Rafael Cruz. He's the father of Senator Ted Cruz, and he was really challenging the men to be men. Happy Father's Day. You know, it's harder than it's probably ever been before to be a man. It's never been easy to be a man. But men are assaulted on every side. They're not assaulted physically, but their position that God has given them has been undermined for decades. And over a period of time, those who are not strong in doctrine start thinking not like men, maybe more like women, but they certainly don't think the way that the leaders they should be think. So, I have a scripture for you this morning. Put it on the board for you here. Just a minute. Aren't computers lovely? I brought it up three times, and then I hit the wrong button, and it takes it back where I don't want to be. So I'm going to go another route. Are y'all kind of warm in here? I know better than to ask it. I don't know why I do. Half the women say no, and the men are over there fanning. Okay, finally. First Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13 says, "Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, and be strong." One of the things that Rafael Cruz was really emphasizing is that men need to step up and fulfill their responsibility. Most of the men he was talking to were not only married, but they also had children. And it's especially true in this day and age to do that. Now, I'm going to step on toes the entire time. So I'm telling you ahead of time, I am not directing this to any individual, no particular person. But I'm not just talking about Father's Day. A portion of this message is going to be about Father's Day. Then we're going to go into Joshua chapter 22, and I'm going to step on toes there as well. So I just thought I'd put that out there for whatever it's worth. Today it seems like the husbands and the fathers are dodging their responsibility, and they are doing a lot of complaining. And I'm here to tell you, if your house is not in order, men, then it's your responsibility to put it in order. Not to complain, not to say, well, it's my children, that you just can't manage them. Or it's my wife, she should have been named Broomhilda, or whatever you think it might be the case. That doesn't cut any ice with God whatsoever. You are responsible for how your household is managed. You are the leader. You are the manager. That in itself is a newsflash to so many. Because men have become so, I could say, dumbed down, emasculated, that when a real man comes on the scene, the society starts vibrating. There's not many of them around. And when a man asserts his authority, which God has delegated to him, people start calling him a monster, saying that he is some kind of brute. Well, here's a news flash for all you guys. I'm going to convey to you something that was conveyed to me and had such an impact. It was my mentor, R.B. Thien, Jr., affectionately called the Colonel. And he said, man, if you do not exercise your authority, you will lose it. And there's not many men exercising the authority these days. They're intimidated. They know that if they do, there's going to be trouble. And they want to have smooth sailing. So they just go along to get along. And they will sacrifice their family's well-being because they are too weak and too intimidated to step up to the plate and be a man. So, it's not easy to do that, to manage a household when the responsibility is on your shoulders. But if any of you or anyone who may be listening to this finds themselves complaining and groaning and going to other people saying, boy, I tell you, I just don't like to go home. In fact, a lot of guys don't go home. They'll go to a beer joint or they'll go anywhere except home because it's not what it should be. And God puts that responsibility on them. Today we have, I think it's 20% of our military are women. I heard not too long ago that I think that the number of women in colleges exceed the number of men now. I don't know, I didn't get the statistic on how many women are in the workplace and how many are managers and so forth, but it seems like men continue to take a back seat. Certainly that's the case in the Congress. I just saw something recently about they have some kind of caucus where women get together and try to promote women. I think that's wrong. I just have to tell you, I think it's wrong when anyone gets to a specialized group and we're just going to promote us, whether it's the Black Caucus or the Women's Caucus or all the other things. We should all be Americans. We should all be Christians. And rather than being so concerned about politically correct, how about being biblically correct for a change? That's what needs to take place. And it's not going to happen until the men of this country start recognizing, first of all, their place under God and their place of prominence in the home, in the business, everywhere they go. Now, a real man understands that he has been given authority by God. You know what? No man ever has to argue and explain that he is the head of the house. He doesn't have to struggle or compete to be the man of the house, the leader of the house, the one that's in charge, the one that has the responsibility, because God has done that. You don't have to make yourself head of the house. You already are, according to God. Now, some of you might think, oh, well, that's good. Yeah. Well, there's another side to that coin, and that's the responsibility. In fact, that's how you spell authority, is R-E-S-P-O-N-S-I-B-I-L-I-T-Y. Did I spell it right? Thank you. That's how you spell authority. He also knows that it's more important to be respected than to be liked. Now, I'm going to get in a few moments to the part to where I'm not advocating that men become drill sergeants and dictators. But what I'm saying is, in the society that we live in, that essentially is dominated by women now, you have to recognize that you're not going to be liked when you assert your authority. When you stand up and be a man, there's going to be people who are going to talk about you. Your family is going to look at you like, who is this guy? And where did my father go? Or where did my husband go? And it's exceedingly hard if you let it slip to the degree that you've been treated like a doormat. You're used to not being respected. It's hard to turn that around. But God holds you responsible to do it. You know what? Husbands can't make their wives do anything. In fact, parents really can't make their children do anything. And anyone that tries to take over the home by becoming a dictator really doesn't get it. You see, men, we're not responsible whether our wives respond to our loving leadership or whether our children respond or whether they react to setting the house in order. That's between them and the Lord. But it is between the man and God Himself to fulfill that role. And too many men think, I'm going to cave in. I'm not going to do what is right. I will not set my house in order because it's too hard. They won't like me anymore. Well, let me tell you something. If you're not respected, not only can they not love you, they're not even going to like you. And that goes for parents. You don't do things in order to be liked. You do them because God requires it and it's the right thing to do. And He will bless you when you do it. Now, I have a few things to say to the wives to help your husband be the man that God has called him to be. So if you have a little something to take a notes, ladies, or if you can just remember them, that's fine. But I'm going to give you about 5 points here. First of all, don't overrule your husband. And by the way, husbands, when your children come to you and they ask, is it okay if I do so and so, don't say, go ask your mother. You've just said, I'm not in charge. Your mother's the one in charge, and I'll go along with whatever she says. It's either conveying that idea, or you don't really care about them one way or the other anyway. Don't overrule your husband. If the husband has told the children, no, you can't have any candy today, and they go to the mama, well, you've been good. Yeah, I'll go ahead and give you candy. Especially if she knows what the husband says. Second thing. Don't give orders to your husband. I've seen women do that right in front of me. And I'm just... I have to get a clamp out and just shut my lip and my mouth shut. A lot of ladies work in the workplace. Would you go into your boss's office and start ordering him around? Well, then why do it to your husband? Actually, your husband has more authority over you than your boss does. Don't give orders to them. Number three, don't correct him in front of other people. How many times has this happened? The husband will be telling a story. Yes, last August we went skiing. No, that was September. Who cares? Huh? What makes that happen? I've seen husbands that were corrected so many times that finally said, well, here, you just tell the story. You think that would embarrass the wife? No, she's more than glad to tell the story. Don't talk down to him. Don't talk condescending to the one who has authority over you. Because your children are watching. People are watching. God is watching. I guess I ought to say about don't correct your husband. There are times when maybe he needs to be corrected, but it's only on something that's very important. And you're not doing it in order to make him look like an idiot. You're doing it because you love him, and what he says might cause harm in some fashion. Outside of that, it doesn't matter. Help your children to show proper respect for their father. And if you do it, the children are going to pick up on it. Do you know what I've noticed is when children are disrespectful to their father, you can nearly bank on it, the mother is as well. They're following her lead. And the husband isn't requiring respect. Because you get what you expect, by the way. Don't compete with your husband. Women should not compete. They should complete their husband. If he does something wrong, if he's having a difficult time, if he's struggling with something, encourage him. By the way, we all need encouragement, don't we? I think we need encouragement like we need the air we breathe, like we need the doctrine in order to be good and faithful servants. Okay, now back to the... That's all, ladies. If you do that, if you remember those, you're doing good. But to the guys, a true man shows his family that he loves them. And maybe I would say on that same important note, he tells them that he loves them. Very important. One of the things you can't do is tell your wife or your children that you love them too much or too often. Can't do it. It's music to their ears. And men sometimes have the idea that, well, I go out and I provide and I do this and I do that, and that should show them that I love them. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about one way to show love to both your wife and your children is to spend time with them. And I'm not... I quality time. Sitting in front of the idiot box in neutral and your brain goes blank is not spending quality time. Do something special. You know, guys, what we need to do if the family life seems a little dull? Change it up. Do something special. That's another way that you show your love to your family. I know I'm ancient. I'm a senior citizen. And when I was younger, what my dad used to do was he said, just on for no special occasion, he would say, let's go to the ice cream store. Now back then they had ice cream stores because you couldn't get ice cream just anywhere. And you would have to drive a ways to get to an ice cream store. It was an event. And my sister and I were giddy. She was just showering me. She was just hugging and kissing. And I didn't know what to do. Thank you, Dad. Thank you, Dad. Thank you, Dad. Here, shake hands. What flavor you want? Show them and tell them how much they mean to you. Don't take it for granted. You always need to be encouraging. You always need to praise. Another thing that is so... You know, children believe what their parents say. And if the parent says, you're no good, you'll never make it, you're good for nothing, the children are going to believe it and they can be crippled for life. So we need to tell them how proud you are of them. And the mistake that most parents make, men included, maybe even especially, is they look for faults rather than looking for things to praise. Looking for faults is the easiest thing anyone can do. And it tears down, it injures, and it harms. Discourages. It cripples. And when you look for praise and you see Johnny do something good? And you might have to look as, am I sure, is that Johnny? And he actually does something good? It doesn't matter how big it is. Praise Him for it. Because He's going to want to do it again. Because we love to be praised. We love to have encouragement. That's what we need to be looking for. We also need to show affection. You know, some guys have this macho mentality. And anyone that has a macho mentality is a moron. It's a moronic macho mentality that so many men carry around. Oh, I gotta be tough. You know, they just... Macho Man. I think there's a wrestler named Macho Man. Now, that's fine for the wrestler, but it's a disaster for men. A true man, a great father is going to be compassionate, tender, gentle, and thoughtful to his children and to his wife. He's going to take the time to show his son how to treat a woman. And he's going to do that mainly by his son observing how he treats his mother, the child's mother. That's how he learns. But he needs to be told as well. He needs to be told about the way that the common manners. You open a door for a lady, you pull out their chair. You walk on the curbside of the street. You're always thinking about protecting her and thinking of her. He trains that all the time. He's training his son how to do that. And he can also train his daughter. There's one thing that a father can train his daughter that the mother cannot do. Because the mother can never say, I know what it's like to be a teenage boy. But the father can. And he warns about the wolves out there. I used to write my daughter notes. And I would tell her that anytime a guy wants to get feisty and start saying how much he loves you, run. It's a lie. Because teenage boys, 99% of the time, does not have love in their mind nor in their vocabulary or anything else. I'm sorry, I just have to say what came in my mind, and it's a vivid description of teenage boys, most teenage boys. And when I say most, I'm probably talking about the 99 percentile. If you were able to stick some kind of rod into their brain and project it up on the screen, I couldn't show it here because it would be full of naked girls. I hope that's not too harsh for you. But see, a father can convey that to his daughter. The mother has no idea. She was never a teenage boy. He takes the time to do that. He's not afraid to discipline his children. He's fair. He's firm. He's just. And he listens to his children and he listens to his wife. Boy, if I don't get started, I'm never going to get to the other part. I'm still on Father's Day and I'm only half of, well, I've only covered so far verse 13. You have to be on alert. If you're in charge, you better look out. And protect your family. Provide. Do everything that's necessary. Stand firm in the faith. I didn't even get to this because I'm trying to rush through it. I guess I better slow down because I'm not even going to get to what I was my main thing today. The father is responsible for training his children spiritually. A lot of people say, oh, well, that's the woman's job. In so many churches, when there's anything, any function, anything even requiring teaching, guess who shows up? Women, the men are absent. The man is required by God to train his children about the Word of God, about Jesus, about God the Father and the Holy Spirit. I have scriptures. I don't have time to go through them. If you want to jot them down, here's a few. in discipline, disciplining the children. Proverbs 13:24, Proverbs 19:18, Proverbs 21:18 through 22, Proverbs 22:6 through 15. I'm sorry. I've just got so many of them. What I'm saying is, just let me tell you, just go to Proverbs. Okay? Or we have a booklet in here, I mean in the library there, that has, what is it? It's a booklet on where to go in the Bible. The scripture reference book, it's in here, in there. And what it does is it gives different issues. Yeah, what's the name of it there, Pete? It says it on the Bible. All right, Scripture Guide. Really hard. I've just I'm the one that wrote it, and I can't remember Scripture Guide. But anyhow, that's what it is. It's called a Scripture Guide because it's a Scripture Guide. Anyway, if you want more of these Scriptures, go in the library and get the Scripture Guide. And there's one place in authority, and it has authority in all these different areas. And regarding disciplined children, and it's Pete has one. You all should have one in your, just carry it in your purse or put it in your pocket or whatever, because you never know when the gray matter up here is going to fail you when you're trying to remember a scripture reference. So that's what I would suggest. Okay. So we went over verse 13, and that's a very important verse. But the next verse is just as important. Here's verse 14. Let all that you do be done in love. See, this balances the equation. Some people, when I'm talking about standing firm and act like a man, and they think, in their mind, maybe they had a role model that was a dictator or maybe abusive. And in their mind, they don't like to hear those verses because it goes back to someone who did not exercise their authority properly. But the Bible always puts things in balance. So all the things that verse 13 is saying for men, verse 14 says it's to be done in love. When was it? Was it last Sunday? I don't know. The days go by so fast, and the weeks seem like days. The months seem like weeks to me, and I can't keep it all in perspective. But it wasn't long ago. I remember what it was now. Okay, Mother's Day. Remember? I was in Mother's Day. I said it's not easy to be a mother. It's not easy to be a wife. The role of the mother is, first of all, to support and encourage and help her husband. And the Bible says that a woman is to submit to her husband's authority. And that's not easy. And we went over, you don't do it because he's such Mr. Gallant. He's not a knight in shining armor on a white horse. Sometimes he's a jerk on a donkey. And when he is, you still have, that still applies. Some of you might say, well, yeah, most of the time. Well, that's hard to do, but it's hard. The man's job is hard as well. And you know, the man's job is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. And that's a 24-hour a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year job. You never go on vacation. You never get a rest, gentlemen. You have to love constantly, and you get the rewards for doing so. Let me give you a few things that when things are done in love. There has never been a man that was perfect apart from our Lord Jesus Christ. We make mistakes. Sometimes we major in making mistakes. Sometimes we're going to be weak. Sometimes we're going to overdo it and be too strong. Especially for someone that isn't used to asserting authority, they might not get it right at first. And when we do, when we mess up, we should be the first and very quick to apologize and ask for forgiveness. Now, some people think, but he's in charge. Listen to this very closely. If anything else, you need to hear this, men. When you go to your wife or you go to your children and you say, I was wrong. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. And I apologize. Some men think, oh, what a wimp. That's when a man is at his strongest. Because he is so confident in his position that God gave him and in his authority, he recognizes not only is he required to do that, but he understands that his subordinates, his wife and his children, will love him all the more for it. It's not weak, it's strong. You know who the weak one is? The weak one is the one who does offend somehow and just tries to brush it under the rug. Just pretend it doesn't happen. Well, you just have to lump it. I'm in charge. That's a weak leader. Showing compassion. When your children or when your wife are hurting, you should be hurting as well. Now, I know the phrase, I feel your pain, has been... Well, it's come out very insincere. But it's a truism with regards to fathers and husbands. You should feel their pain. I'm going to give you a hint of what we're not going to get to today. We might get to it a little bit. It's going to be on communication. And I'm getting it straight out of Joshua chapter 22. There's a lot of ways to communicate. But sometimes the most powerful way to communicate is without words. You show affection. You show compassion. And when you see the tears start to well up in anyone in your family, actually anyone, period, sometimes just going over and putting your arm around them and bringing them close to your side. The Greek word for that is parakalao. Just to draw to your side. Sometimes that can say more than... Sometimes words just get in the way, don't they? Sometimes it's just encouragement. You see, you have to have your radar going all the time. When you see a wife that is downcast, she's not her regular self, you don't chide her. You go over and put your arm around her. Sometimes you don't have to say anything. And she'll respond and put her arm around you. Affection. So powerful. And yet the macho man never sees it. He's too busy thinking about himself and how he can lord it over everyone. The real father is in charge, but that does not mean that he does everything that makes it easy on himself. Doesn't mean that sometimes he will allow those under his charge to stray. You know what that's called? Freedom. And all of us need freedom. And being the man of the house and being a leader and being a good father means you give your children freedom. Actually, what you should be doing is training them that the more you demonstrate to me that you're not going to abuse the freedom that I give you, you're going to get more freedom. We have some young people here. How important is freedom to y'all? Might that be number one on your hit parade? I'd like to talk to you about my dad, but I can't. Just thinking about him right now makes me not be able to talk. What a man. I learned a lot from him. Tremendous amount. There was a time that I had to change. I had to switch gears because he was my Superman. And even when I was a teenager, when I had decisions to make, I would always think, well, what would Daddy do? Then I guess it's part of the process of growing from a boy into a man. I was so fortunate, I started thinking not just what would my dad do, but what would God have me do? What does the Word of God say that I need to do? Some of you don't have the wonderful childhood that I had with having a father and having a mother. In fact, having two mothers that are so phenomenal. And it's harder for you to understand the father's role and how important it is. When children are being reared, the things that take place stick with them for life. And it can either be for the good or it can be for the ill. In my case, it was for the good because my dad would tell me, you can do anything you want to do. And I believed it. I remember when I was in high school, and I was fortunate enough to have several scholarship offers in football to various schools. And I decided to go to Texas A&M, but he came to me and he said, look, he said, I thought you might want to go to Texas University. I said, no, you go on trips and you go and you look at the schools and all. And for one thing, it was so big, I thought I would just be lost there. But what his point was, he says, I just wanted to make sure that you didn't go to Texas University because you're afraid that you weren't good enough to play. He said, you can play anywhere and you can do anything. What do you think that did to me? And I said, I thanked him for that. But I said, no, I really wanted to go to Texas A&M instead. But he was always encouraging me that way. I wish that there was maybe in heaven there'll be a playbacks where you can see in your life things that happened when you were growing up. This morning when I was shaving, this is so strange. I just flashed back, and it's not because of Father's Day. I hadn't even been thinking about Father's Day, but I was shaving, and I went back when I was a little boy watching my daddy shave. And back then, they had the kind of razors that you'd twist the bottom and it opened up and you'd have a razor blade. Well, he bought me a little plastic razor, and it would open up, and it had cardboard for the razor blade you would put in. And so when he would shave, he would be shaving, and I would he'd put a little shaving cream on my face. And he would move over, and while he was shaving, I was watching him as I shaved, you know. He bought me a little mower, a grass mower. And when he was out there mowing the grass, they didn't have riding lawn mowers then. He was out there mowing the grass. Guess who was following him with the little mower? Huh? I guess I'm able to talk about him after all. He would take me hunting, fishing. I still remember tunes. I'll spare you. I won't sing them to you. But one of them was called Mersey'd Oats. You know Mersey'd Oats? I remember exactly when I heard that song. I was on the way to San Leon. It was just him and I, and we were going fishing. And he was teaching me those songs on the way. And I still remember them. And I've taught them to my grandchildren. It's times like that, Dad, that It's just, and I was so fortunate to have such a great one. And that's missing today. The fathers are alienated from their family. They don't spend time together. They don't eat together. They're really kind of estranged. But it doesn't have to be that way. I guess I finally learned, and I came to understand, as good and as great as my father was, I had another father that was greater than him, my Heavenly Father. And he loves me with a love that even my daddy could not even envision. He's always there. He's always there to help us. He is our model. He and the Lord Jesus Christ is what we need to model after. I just hope that you men will act like men. And if your families are not in order, put it in order, but do it in a loving way. And your children will rise up and call you blessed. That's the challenge for us today. It's done in a society that doesn't understand that anymore. For you fathers that still have children at home, I would suggest that you take all the electrical devices and put them in a drawer somewhere and say, we're going to have some family time. Talk to them. Find out what they're doing. What is it their aspirations are? What are they looking forward to? What are they dreading? What are they afraid of? Talk to them. Maybe even say, every Monday night, we're going to have a sit-down dinner at home. And we're not all only going to sit down and talk to each other. We're all going to prepare. Each one's going to have their own job. Can you imagine the response from the teenagers? Oh, glad. I'm so happy. No. What? Are you kidding? Take my cell phone? It's like some kind of device that keeps them alive or something. Remove it from their ear. We used to have board games. I'm running out of time, but that's when I found out, and everybody else found out, that I had a temper because I don't like to lose. Even resorted to cheating. And I wasn't very good at it. And my dad would teach me how to be a good loser. And that was one of the most difficult things. Whatever I did. See, that's the thing. He encouraged me. I could do anything I wanted to do. And I thought I could do it. So when it didn't happen, I didn't like it. Told you about the time he was my little league baseball coach, little league football coach. He was in all these types of things. And that was good, but there was a minus also. When I would go up to bat, I wanted to hit a home run every time. And if I struck out, I remember the umpire called me out on a strike. I didn't swing, and I didn't think it was a strike. And I turned around and I argued with him. And I didn't do any good, so I threw my bat. And I started to go back to the dugout, and there was C.K. Smith standing there like this. So I had to go apologize. This is in front. The whole game stopped. I had to go and apologize to the umpire and go get my bat. That was a long walk to the dugout. Constantly teaching. That's what I want for all you fathers. And when you do that, as hard as it may be to set your house in order, when you do it, you have God's promise that He will bless you. He will bless everyone around you. He will bless your city, your county, your state, maybe even the nation. And if enough fathers do that, we could turn it around. But the forces that are set against us are mighty. Divorce, homosexuals, feminism, All these things are pressing in and trying to squeeze the fathers out. So that's my challenge to you. Act like men, and everything that you do, do in love. I'd like everyone to please bow your heads. This portion of our service is dedicated to anyone who might not know their Heavenly Father. They might not know that He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to the cross to pay for your sins. And anyone who believes in Him, Jesus Christ, the fact that He went to the cross, He died for your sins, and now He rose from the grave and He's offering you eternal life. He's giving you the freedom to do that. What a wonderful gift it is. Something we can never earn or deserve. Just a demonstration of how great our Heavenly Father is. There's no works involved. It's simply accepting that free gift by believing that Jesus Christ will give you eternal life for believing on who He is and what He did. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to address You as our Father. We pray that the fathers will act like men, and that they'll do it all in love, and then we can step back and watch and see what You will do to a country that is in desperate straits. This is our prayer, and we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.